All right, we're back. Episode 3, coming right at you. This is Sports Talk with John and Steve.
I think we have a really good show this week. We're going to have a guest, an actual live guest. We're going to look at the NFL Week 1, which is fast approaching. It was an interesting preseason. I think a lot of the stuff we talked about.
We also want to give credit to one of our fans out there, the Hooters, the band, has allowed us to use their music. So that song that you heard is our new theme music. It's called Day by Day. It's a great song. We suggest you check out the website. We're going to have a link up on the page for that. So thanks again to the Hooters for providing us with theme music.
As far as this week is concerned, we're going to talk about, among other subjects, the Little League World Series, maybe what you thought about it in general, maybe more specifically Taney, a local team.
I'm wearing my Taney shirt right now as we speak.
And then we're going to get into more in-depth with the NFL, look at some of the historical trends against the spread, maybe some of the very best teams in the league, some of the very worst over the last few years.
Yeah, we kind of sprung off of the nugget of how do great teams do against the spread. So, you know, how do your 16-0 teams do against the spread? Are they 16-0 against the spread? So you'll see. And then lastly, we're going to kick off our NFL series. The last couple of weeks, we've been teasing you with the preseason. Everyone knows that the preseason is a big tease. So now we're getting into the real stuff. The NFL season kicks off next week, so we're excited for that. And we're going to look at some of the spreads this week and some of the player props and so on. All right, so our first...
Yeah, I know you wanted to get into the Little League World Series. Maybe just
I did.
Some... overarching thoughts?
Well, it was obviously a lot of fun to watch, and you know, it was a very high level of baseball being played. You know, I didn't feel like I was watching 12 and 13 year olds.
Yeah, a lot of fundamentally sound teams. Yeah, just,
you know, and you can especially, see, especially watching it from the Philadelphia angle. I haven't, you know, really been passionately into a hometown
baseball game. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was really good. They had a parade, and you know, there were some people that thought that was a little bit inappropriate. I don't think it was. I think it's good to kind of celebrate the achievements of kids, and hear a lot of bad things about what the youth of our nation and the city of Philadelphia are doing. So it's good to really celebrate some good moments, and you know, although they weren't the overall champions, I thought it was good to celebrate their Mid-Atlantic championship. And, you know, the first team coming out of Philadelphia, it's pretty impressive.
And I think it reinforces the point that regardless of the level of baseball, nothing really changes. I mean, I think people still watch for the same reasons.
Just the
individual matchups.
I found out that you can bet on Little League baseball games.
Okay. It's good that.
We were 5-run underdogs against Vegas. So, but, you know, Vegas had a tough time against Chicago, so got really into that. All right, so moving on to our big stat nugget this week. We looked at the all-time leaders against the spread. So who are the all-time teams for a season?
Since 1991.
Since 1991.
You only have so much free time.
Yeah, because I wasn't really gambling before 1991. That kind of starts the birth of my gambling era. Legally, of course. And,
Looking at it from a big picture, I mean, going into any season, any team that's going to do well against the spread in that season is likely going to be somewhat under the radar going in.
So. Yeah, going into it, they're probably going to see a lot of favorable spreads. They might even be the underdog in a few games.
Early on. And then adjust as the season
goes. And then eventually, yeah, by the end of the season, you're going to see spreads that are seemingly too big, probably. You know, your double-digit spreads. maybe like a road double digit favorite.
Well, yeah, the 2007 Patriots were a great example of that, where by the end of the year they were getting.
Was that Ross's first year?
Correct. So there's by the end of the year they were getting spreads that were, you know, somewhat out of whack, kind of with where they were as a team.
Impressively, though, they only had one loss against the spread. If I'm reading that correctly, 95% against the spread.
That looks like a 15-1.
Yeah, so it's a 15-1 winning percentage against the spread that year. And then some other notable teams. Well, first thing that kind of jumps off the bat is that there's three Patriots teams in the top 10 for records against the spread. You know, the 2003 Patriots, that's kind of interesting because, you know, they were a little bit more respected.
Well, at the same time, they were coming off somewhat of a down year.
So okay.
Maybe, yeah, the 2004 team is kind of more surprising, I guess, in that regard because they were coming off of a Super Bowl season. So
yeah. I'm not seeing I mean, we're just trying to identify trends from these teams. So I'm just going to rattle off the top five or so. So we have the 2007 Patriots, 91 Redskins, 03 Patriots, 98 Broncos, 2004 Patriots, and I'll go six. Here's the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, yeah, it seemed like the Vikings had an influx of talent. Obviously, Randy Moss, that was his rookie year.
Unpredictability, that was the Brad Johnson.
New quarterback, new. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Brad Johnson started that year, and then they went to Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, correct.
That was kind of a surprising success story.
Unpredictable, yeah.
Kind of like, you know, a few others. There's a few other backup quarterbacks that took their teams really far. I'm thinking in that range. You had Kurt Warner's story. You had Tom Brady in 2001 taking over. So, you know, if you can catch one of those teams that are, you know, finding a little bit of lightning in the bottle, they might be a good bet.
Yeah, well, it seems like quarterback is a great place to start. Maybe if you think highly of a quarterback that's being thrust into a new situation and see that team as something that was kind of
To just roll with the radar
the previous year, and maybe that's the missing ingredient.
Yeah, but I'm not seeing a lot of Super Bowl champions from the last 10 years. Did you see any Super Bowl champions in the last 10 years on the top 10? John will post this Excel spreadsheet so you guys can look at this on Sports Stats with John. But I'm saying, okay, so the Saints of 09 were the number 10 team against the spread. They were Super Bowl champs that year. But
and then last year, Seahawks said 14 or 15.
Okay. So there's not necessarily a correlation.
No, it's a very good mix. Yeah,
so what can we take away from this? I was really entertained by a lot of these teams. I got to say, these are some of my favorite teams. You know, that 09 Saints team I liked a lot. The 98 Vikings team. 01 Packers team is pretty interesting. But I don't know. It's almost like that team you want to play with on Madden makes a good team to kind of roll with sometimes, I guess, you know, betting the favorite. But we all know historically teams do not do so well against, you know, favorites historically are.
It seems like more often than not, it's a case where there's an offensive kind of rebirth or explosion from the previous year. Like we talked about, different people in different roles.
Okay. So now we're going to introduce our host coming into the studio. Happy to have him, Chris.
Hi, this is Chris. Thanks for having me, John and C. Big fan of the podcast.
Yeah. A little fun fact. Chris is the brother of John.
Yes, he is. Great dad.
Yeah. All right. So Chris brings us a nice perspective on sports. What are some stories that are breaking out of the news lines? Let's look at the newspaper today. Well, we had Johnny Manziel not being announced as the starter in Cleveland. Now, Chris is really attuned to the Cleveland sports scene for us. Chris, how do you feel about that?
I think I think we'll probably see Manziel start probably by, I'd say, like mid-October. Hoyer really doesn't have a track record of either staying healthy or really sustaining success. So I don't really think Hoyer is really a long-term solution there in Cleveland.
There's going to be an underground swing of pressure to get him in there sooner rather than later, especially if things don't go well early.
Yeah, so Johnny Manziel's jersey is the number 4 best-selling jersey this offseason.
Down from number 1.
It depends when you look at it, yeah. we have Johnny Manziel not starting, surprisingly. And, he did have a couple rough games in the preseason, and some of them, some of it was brought on by his actions. We won't go into that.
Well, yeah, like we talked about in an earlier episode, there's a lot of moving parts in the preseason. He's not always working with the same people. He doesn't get as many reps with some of the people he's going to be playing in the preseason games with as he does during practice. There's a lot of stuff going on. So people shouldn't put too much stock in that. But, you would have liked to see a little more if you're a Browns fan.
I guess the Browns, they bring on a new coach with Mike Pettine last year. As a Bills defensive coordinator, I think he did a really good job there. I think they're one of the top, handful of defenses in the league. It's going to be interesting. They have some young talent there.
I think that's Pettine's main objective at this point. The quarterback situation, I think that'll work itself out.
I think they just really like to see some upside there in Cleveland, which they really haven't had, kind of something they can kind of dream on, and then they can kind of build on that defense or kind of bring it along.
And they have some other offensive pieces in place, the offensive line, so.
Any word on the return of the receiver?
It seems like at the earliest that's going to be next year, but they do have a young tight end, Jordan Cameron, kind of off a Pro Bowl year. So there's some stuff to work with there.
Okay. So maybe this is the year for Cleveland. We've delved into the Cavs a little bit, gaining Kevin Love by trade. So that's going to really continue the love fest for Cleveland sports, especially on this show.
Seems to work back to that.
I do believe in LeBron, and I was a fan of his second decision. So. They looked favored before, and now they have a really good rebounder and a scorer. He's always been known as a good team player.
LeBron's infamous letter, he pointed out that it may take some time to put it all together. But
yeah, that's just a politically safe thing to say, in my opinion.
There are big pieces of young enough that will probably come together.
I think Love's the perfect guy, though, because he really has never come off as a flashy or like an ego-driven player.
Sure.
When LeBron went to Miami, Dwayne Wade's
a lot of ego.
Yeah, he's a great guy by all accounts, but he's used to being, that was his team.
Sure.
So.
And then he brought in the third big wheel, so to speak.
Yeah.
Chris Bosh, so.
All right, and we're going to look at some props. We're going to give props, check out some stats.
You got to give the people what they want.
I'm talking about the NFL this week.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So we're all ready to get ripping and tearing on the Vegas lines. Are we seeing anything?
Well, we start Thursday night. I think there's really good opportunity for Green Bay, I think. Aaron Rodgers is historically really good in the underdog role, especially on the road. There was a game at Houston a couple of years ago that comes to mind where he had played in a really flawless game in a similar situation. So, and Seattle, they were great last year. Likely will have another great year, but they might get off to a little slower start. They've had some off-season issues crop up. Running back holdout. They recently had a snafu with the NFL and some rule breaking. So
what'd they do?
They had some practice situations where they used contact drills a little too frequently.
I wonder who the rat was.
I don't think we'll ever know that, Steve.
There's a rat in the room.
But bottom line, Aaron Rodgers going into a where I think Green Bay is going to be a top five team this year. So
adding Julius Peppers though should be an interesting mix. How they incorporate him into that defense?
Yeah, defense should be much better.
Old man Peppers. Does he still have it?
Two elite teams. We should mention the spread's 5.5 points currently, so that seems a little high.
And this is at Seattle?
Correct.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I know. You got the 12th man working there. What do you think about the Philadelphia-Jacksonville game?
So this is the biggest line of the week. It's currently currently a 10.5, depending on where you look.
Something to study might be opening week big spreads. Because what is that based on? That's based on a lot of prognostication. You know, you don't really have any season to base that on.
A lot of what happened last year, which really isn't that relevant sometimes this year.
Yeah, a lot of the cogs in the system have changed. You know, we have DeSean Jackson out of Philadelphia.
And yeah, even the really good teams, it's going to take some time to come together, because every year, especially in the NFL, there's a lot of roster turnover.
Yeah, so it's almost like a retrospective treatment of the spread. I don't know. Does it hold any weight? That's a huge spread.
I mean, even coaches.
I wouldn't touch it.
Regarding their own team, they don't really know what they have.
Yeah, I almost think that the 52.5 over under. That's interesting to me. You know, sometimes that first week teams are a little sluggish to.
Seems a little high, 52.5.
Yeah, guess. Not having played much together.
Has Philadelphia had all of their offensive players on one field at one time this preseason? No.
I can't see Jacksonville putting up too many points with, you know.
Yeah. Have they gone full bore? No. They don't. I mean, if you've read into the Chip Kelly doctrine, you don't divulge your plans. You know, everything's about deception. He's a big Sun Tzu guy. So,
or you could counter that with the fact that they haven't played much in terms of second halves, the starters not being so. There may be some fatigue later in the game. Offenses take advantage of that.
Okay. Any other spreads looking out? Do you ever just trying to scan through this?
Sure. Well, I think Baltimore is a team that had a very down year last year. Although they're traditionally one of the stronger teams playing at home, they're facing Cincinnati, and they're favored by 2.5. I think there's some value there in Baltimore.
New England, only 3 points, no, 3.5 right now, favored against the Dolphins. Is Ray Finkel playing in that game, John? I don't know. They're going to need some of that magic.
Yeah, Miami's a team that's kind of rudderless at this point. They had some, obviously, the big...
It's a good way to put it.
I guess you want to call it scandal, controversy last year with Jonathan Martin, the offensive lineman. They had some front office turnover, some coaching turnover. So they're a team that... You'd think this would be like their Super Bowl, playing New England at home to start the year, so you don't know if they're going to be way up or...
They're definitely kind of invested more in their offensive line. I think they did a second-round pick, I think, Jones out of Tennessee, and then they also brought in, and I think Brandon Albert in free agency kind of solidified that offensive line that troubled them so much last year, kind of protect their young quarterback, Tannehill. It's kind of a make-or-break year. He's kind of shown potential in the last couple of years. But,
yeah, probably more so for the head coach, Joe Philbin, than Tannehill. But because of the things that happened in the offseason, getting rid of the offensive coordinator, so now it's kind of Philbin's time to be on the hot seat. But
okay. We also had the first week of the, you know, just to kind of switch gears a little bit, we also had the first week of college football. Some surprises, some... Not so surprises.
I didn't think it was a great week for Johnny Football, honestly.
Which Johnny Football?
Mr. Manziel.
Okay.
Just the fact that Texas A&M was able to kind of plug in a young quarterback.
There's another Johnny Football. What's his name? Andy?
Kenny Hill.
Kenny Football.
Okay. Correct. So going into a hostile environment in South Carolina, where traditionally they have a very strong defense, putting up 50-plus points.
I know. and Mike Evans wasn't on the field. So
yeah,
even more impressive.
No Matthews at offensive tackle. So
we're joking.
Despite that departure of talent, it seems like Texas A&M did fine. So maybe
definitely points well, I think, for A&M's future as Sumlin is able to really kind of. They're really not skipping a beat, even though missing top five, top ten draft picks. I think that kind of bodes well in their future in the SEC there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with South Carolina there. So, I've been sure one of their pretty strong teams, especially at home.
We had a big upset this week. It was kind of a freakish game. I know millions tuned in to watch it, the Temple Vanderbilt game. I say that with a little tongue in cheek.
Sure, well, Vanderbilt had some. Big losses.
Big losses, and Temple's a building.
They lost virtually their whole coaching staff to Penn State. So.
Who did quite well this week.
Yeah. And one hour is an underdog.
Always a tough place to go. Ireland.
Especially
when you... Well, you know what, but I think they might have a little bit of an advantage coming from State College. They tend to drink similar liquids there, so... Probably felt right at home.
Although Central Florida's coach is Irish, but
okay. But thank you for
getting back to the NFL, I think another team and game that jumps out at me is Tampa Bay playing at home against Carolina, who, like we talked about, their reputation may be superseding them a little bit in terms of what they're going to be this year.
This is Tampa Bay or
Tampa Bay hosting Carolina. Okay. So Tampa Bay is currently a 1-point favorite. The game's more or less a pick 'em. So I think you're seeing a Tampa Bay team that's getting a big upgrade coaching. They've been a younger team the last few years, so I think they've drafted a lot of young defensive players lately, so there's some talent there that Lovie Smith can work with, the new coach. And like I just mentioned, Carolina's kind of a team that's...
It's a roller coaster team. You never really know what you're going to get.
Well, I think this year you're definitely going to get a little downswing.
Okay. So losing their left tackle, Jordan Gross, has kind of been a mainstay there for a long time. And that was really even a couple months ago. I think that was after the draft, so they couldn't even really...
So we're saying basically, if I'm reading this correctly, you guys would be in agreement that Cam Newton's seasons tend to follow the sine curve, up and down. So this last year was up, and I guess this year.
Well, I think the ceiling's pretty low with him. So
I know you don't believe in him, but you know we have to give him credit. He had a good year last year.
But as far as the game, I think Tampa's definitely on the right side.
Okay.
Anything else jump out of you, Steve?
News-wise, and looking... No, I'm looking to see, Deshaun Jackson's debut with the Redskins, or should I just call them Washington? It depends on your take on that perspective. I don't really have a view. I could see him wanting to make a little bit of a splash. Bill O'Brien.
They got to get the ball first, and Robert Griffin hasn't done a very good job of that all preseason.
So you think he's going to come back healthy? I know. I guess they kind of held him out the last few weeks.
What did he do? Ankle?
I think it was more precautionary. He's getting banged up a lot with their kind of depleted O line. They just have so much really invested in him riding in their future.
If you're a fantasy football player, I would just be a little cautious about LeSean McCoy this year. I don't know how much talk it's gotten nationally, but at least here in Philadelphia, we're hearing a lot about his toe injury, his turf toe injury, and that's not the kind of injury that just heals on its own. That's a sprain or a tear in a ligament in what's called the great toe. That's the clinical term for the big toe. And you really need that to run. And the only thing they can do is put a steel shank in his cleat so that he's not flexing that great toe. I can't imagine that being very good for running and for being very quick.
And from a personnel standpoint, it seems like they're going to be more balanced this year. They have another running back who's a legitimate NFL pro, and Darren Sproles.
Do we expect Darren Sproles to get a lot of carries, though?
They're going to get, he may get a bulk of LeSean's receiving opportunities. I think that's for
his I saw him more of, you know, Deshaun's replacement. Okay. Interesting. All right, and we're going to wrap it up. We have one last fan mail that we'd like to respond to. This comes from Marg. Was that right? Marge? From Texas, South Texas. She specifies. So one of our female listeners checks in, and she would like to know, what's this, a prop? How many games will Tony Romo start this year? Okay, that's an interesting question. Do we think Tony Romo is going to finish the season strong? John?
We'll say some. Well, last year he played 15 games, which, I mean, that injury could have easily happened in week one as opposed to week 16. So.
All right.
I would say, I don't know what the over-under is. Have you heard this?
Well, I mean, there's always a short lease in Dallas. Jerry,
they've been going to a lot of their offensive line, so it's probably the strength of the team right now. So I'd put decent money on them starting all 16 games.
Yeah. No, I just know that. I mean, it would be a little disconcerting if you were Tony Romo and you knew that your owner really wanted to, you know, had to be restrained from drafting Johnny Manziel.
Well, we don't know the real truth behind that.
Okay.
There might have been a lot of Cowboys PR people getting that out there. They were just clamoring for
it. Maybe they just want to ploy that draft to kind of almost like a smoke screen. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for that fan mail. And we're going to check in next week again.
Yeah, well, we can't read now. Okay, the week two.
All right. Signing off.
All right. Have a good week.